This is a special series of Bible studies on the Gospel of Mark. It was done at the request of the Far East Broadcasting Company. The scripture reading is done by my good friend Ken Brooks. Yes, this is the Emmaus Bible Hour, a program for you and your family, a time to study the Bible together. Chapter 2 begins with the very interesting story of four men bringing one sick of the palsy, or a paralytic, to the Lord Jesus. A real problem faced them because of the large crowd that was near the Lord Jesus. They just couldn't get to him. Here's what we read in Mark 2:4, the NASB translation.
And being unable to get to him on account of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying.
Some think that the Lord Jesus was back at Peter's home in Capernaum. Now, I don't know what Peter thought about them tearing a large hole in the roof of his house, but these four men were determined to get their friend to Jesus, and surely they brought him to the right person. We always do right when we bring our problems, our lives, our friends to the Savior. So often we can do little to help our friends, but he can always do something for them. Now verse 5.
And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven."
The Lord Jesus saw the faith of the five, the man who was ill and the four who carried him. First, he forgave the man's sins, and later he healed the man. The Lord Jesus put first things first. Some people fail to realize that the sin problem in their life is far more important than any illness. Now Mark 2, verses 6 and 7.
But there were some scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?"
And they were right. Only God can forgive sins. What they didn't understand was that they were face to face with God, God the Son. The Lord Jesus knew their thoughts, and so he put this question to them.
"Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and take up your pallet and walk'?"
The fact was that the scribes couldn't do either one. To prove to them that he was God and able to forgive sins, he said, "I say to you, rise, take up your pallet and go home." And the man did just what Jesus said to him. In this chapter, we're seeing the opposition to the Lord Jesus. At this point, the scribes could have believed. The Lord Jesus gave them proof of his deity, but they rejected this proof to their eternal loss. But let me ask you, which is easier to cleanse away, sin? To cleanse away sin or to heal the sick? Creation is the work of his fingers. He created man in that way. But redemption was only made possible by his sacrifice on the cross. A man may be healed of his illness, but still be lost forever. A man's soul is the all-important thing. How is it with your soul? Are you thinking only of this life, spending all your time pampering this body, which will someday be in the grave? What about your soul? If you will turn to the Lord Jesus in all your sin, in all your need, trust wholly in him, his response to you will be, "My son," or "My daughter, your sins are forgiven." We turn to another interesting person in this chapter, possibly another young man. Let's read together verses 14 and 15.
And he, the Lord Jesus, went out again by the sea shore, and all the multitude were coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." and he arose and followed him.
This man is called Levi, and he was probably of that tribe. We know him better as Matthew, the writer of the first gospel. He was a publican, a tax collector. The Roman Empire was a large one. It was a real problem how to get taxes from the people in an efficient way. And so they auctioned off the right to collect taxes to the highest bidder. That man was to collect a certain amount of taxes, and then all that he collected above that was his to keep. These tax collectors were hated men, and usually they were rich men. People didn't know just how much they owed in taxes, and the collectors tried to get as much as possible. Matthew heard the Lord Jesus' voice that day. He had probably heard him before. But on that day, the Lord Jesus was speaking to him. Follow me was the call. What? Leave his job? Well, Matthew was all set for the rest of his life. But as someone has well put it, Matthew had learned the value of money, how worthless it was. Matthew rose up and followed the Lord Jesus. He actually gave up more than Peter or John. They could go back to their fishing boats, but there was no turning back for Matthew. He went all out, and one of the first things he did was to invite his fellow tax collectors to a dinner so that they could meet the Savior. But the scribes heard about it too. Mark 2, verses 16 and 17.
And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax gatherers, they began saying to his disciples, Why is he eating and drinking with tax gatherers and sinners? And hearing this, said to them, It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners.
Well, the fact was that they were all sinners. But the men at the table with Jesus, the tax collectors, recognized themselves as sinners and in need. The scribes were in need too, but they were deceiving themselves as well as others. They were hypocrites. We see two classes here in the closing verses of our study today. The question that should face us is this. Into which group do you belong? You are not far from salvation when you realize that you're a sinner and that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior.
No.